touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Happy birthday, number 61, to Stanley Burrell, who you know better as MC Hammer, or perhaps just Hammer after he dropped the MC after a few years of success. Number one with Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him, although this song, as ubiquitous as it was, did not reach number one. I believe MC Hammer's highest charting single on the charts actually was Pray from the same album. Very strange quirk. But the album spent 21 weeks at the top of the charts back in 1990. As I mentioned, he dropped the MC at some point with more hardcore rap. That was not so successful. But MC Hammer, celebrating today, he can touch the cake as he turns 61. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on The Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. Talking now with Colonel Grant Newsham. He's a retired U.S. Marine, served in the Indo-Pacific for decades, expert on political warfare and Asian organized crime. He has a brand new book. It is out this week, When China Attacks, A Warning to America. Colonel Newsham, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show. Colonel, thanks so much for joining us here on the program.
Well, yes, thanks very much. Glad to be here.
I appreciate it. The title of the book, When China Attacks, doesn't leave much room for interpretation. It is a when, not an if. What makes you so confident in that assertion?
Well, actually, the title has two possible meanings. One is an attack in the future, and the other is an attack which is ongoing. And my book is actually describing how China has been attacking us for the last 30 years or so. They've been attacking us in ways and on fronts that we don't consider war, but the Chinese very much do. When Americans think of a war, we tend to look at it like a 100-yard dash, where, say, two people come up to the start line and they get into the crouch after stretching out, and then somebody says, go. And after that, the race starts. In the terms of war, we think of when the shooting starts. But the Chinese look at the shooting part as really just the last phase of a much longer war. And it may not even be necessary if they have set things up right and weakened their enemy correctly. What are some examples of these ways they've been attacking us? Well, the Chinese have been conducting economic warfare, biological warfare, chemical warfare, cyber warfare, psychological warfare against us, amongst some other things. And those have all been intended to confuse the Americans, weaken them, and distract them while China has built up a military that potentially could beat us if they chose the right time, the right places to attack.
So let's head back a bit. If this has been ongoing for a little bit, when was the point, or where was the point when China decided to begin this attack? And what was the goal? Why did they choose to fight with us here at the U.S.?
Well, different people will choose different start points because Mao Zedong, the first dictator of communist China, he actually talked about defeating the United States. But I tend to go a little bit after that, and I would say around 1989, 1990, when after the Tiananmen Square massacre, when the Chinese communists gunned down some thousands of their own citizens in Tiananmen Square, and all those people wanted was a bit more honest government. But after that, the Chinese dictator gave marching orders to the military to be able to defeat an enemy that has aircraft carriers, and that was us. And they have never said, boy, we made a mistake, but rather it has always been intended to defeat the main enemy, and that's the United States. What are their objectives? Well, first, to drive us out of Asia, the Asia-Pacific, and ultimately the effort is global domination. They set their sights on Latin America, Africa, the oceans in between, the Caribbean, and they have all quietly done it without firing a shot, and using other attacks, but it's all intended to set us up for eventual defeat.
If perhaps the public, and your book is in one way an attempt to inform us and enlighten us when China attacks, which is out now, if the public perhaps doesn't understand or realize the extent of China's activities, are we in the military and we in Washington properly prepared and properly responding to what the Chinese have been doing?
Well, not yet. We are waking up, fortunately, in the last, say, from about 2016 or so. We started to show signs of waking up and awareness of the threat and also making some efforts to defend ourselves, to, you know, protect American interests. And that was it was long overdue, but it's a good thing it happened. And, you know, one notes that, well, that was only 6-7 years ago, which wasn't very long, considering how long China has been going at us. So we are waking up. But it's, as I said, it's late in the day. The Chinese Communists, for example, have created such a dependency on our part, say, economically, for, you know, pharmaceuticals, for key materials, some of which we need to actually have our military operate properly, things like batteries, magnets, the raw materials for explosives. We depend on China for that, and China has declared us repeatedly as their main enemy. So that economic dependence that they have created and our business class, our financial class, has decided is actually a good thing, has put us at a huge vulnerability. So it's hard to just change course overnight. As I say, we are showing some signs of having woken up. It is late in the day. And you know, just another example of how we allowed ourselves to fall behind by not recognizing China as a threat, but instead seeing it as a really attractive market or a source of, you know, manufactured goods, source of money for of all things, is in, say, long-range anti-ship missiles, which are really key to naval warfare. American anti-ship missiles, say, go 75 miles. Chinese anti-ship missiles go about 120, and they outrange ours, and they're much faster. And the faster a missile is, the harder it is to knock down. So we allowed that, and that's just one example of this imbalance we allowed to happen by not recognizing the threat, and that was all part of Chinese psychological warfare, was to get us to see them as, oh, just a non-threatening panda almost, or economic competitor, but not a military threat that was out to at least dominate us. China doesn't have the idea of occupying the United States, but to dominate us so that we can't make a move anywhere without having to implicitly ask China's permission, or at least wonder or do it in a way that doesn't offend China. Hmm. In fact, not offending China has been one of our the main guidelines for so much of American policy for much too long.
Colonel Grant Newsham is with us. His brand new book, When China Attacks, A Warning to America. Stick around, please, for another segment. I want to ask a little about Taiwan, a little about COVID as well. Colonel Grant Newsham with us. This portion of the program brought to you by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the resource every Michigan business owner needs to keep up on the fast-changing world of business and help you navigate the challenges. The Michigan Chamber is here for you. Thousands of members. Check them out, michamber.com, michamber.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
I have always been a I can do it kind of girl. This is Johnny Erickson Tata, and even when I was little, they tell me my first words were, me do. The first time I rode a bike, I just knew I was balancing it all by myself. But then I noticed that my father was running alongside with his hand on the back fender. I protested, Daddy, let me do it. Don't help me. Let me do it. Well, I got my way and went crashing into the sidewalk with my bike. But my independence ended when I was 17. That's when I broke my neck diving into the Chesapeake Bay, which resulted in quadriplegia. That was over 40 years ago. And if there's one thing I have had to learn as a quadriplegic, it's to ask for help and then to receive that help graciously. Hey, it's okay to ask for help. It's one way of encouraging others to get close and learn how to serve. If you need help, ask from disabilitycampaign.org.
Great high school athletes learn a lot more from playing multiple sports. They improve their hand-eye-foot coordination. They work different muscle groups. They learn from different coaching styles and teammates. They learn the benefits of being the star of one team and the backup who makes the stars shine on another. Be wise. Don't specialize. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.